Well, I decided we were supposed to do this last week, but we had Fred or Ida. I guess it was Ida that was coming in here, so it got pushed off a week. But I wanted to do a little something on what he had just said, basically getting excited about this time of year. It references the last trump. Some of us are believers in that, some of us aren't, and that's okay. As long as we agree on the essential things. But anyways, I fought this teaching. You were ever putting something together and you just fight it. And I found myself right before I went to bed, I said, I better pray about this. I find myself doing that quite often.
You mentioned when this friend was, did you want
to hear that? 2 hours ago.
Well, she hadn't asked yet, so I said, "Oh, we've gotten by that." So my counter is, "How about that oven?" that's why we're running a little bit close. The oven was not behaving itself this morning.
Time to buy a new one.
Well, we hope it's something else. But so, anyways, we're gonna cover something maybe you've never covered before, maybe some of you know about it. How many of you have heard of the feast, Jewish feast, the Hebrew feast? Maybe a few? Anybody want to come up and teach it? I wouldn't mind.
No problem.
Where's Joe? Let me move that up a little bit. All right. Well, first and foremost, I want to put a little commercial out there. These don't apply to us. These are all reference Israel. But I think there's an intersection on one of those that applies to us, and that's kind of what I'm going to get around to doing. But first I'm going to do kind of a brief summary on each of these seven feasts. They're kind of interesting. With that said, just a quick... I was going to say that. A quick prayer. God, we love you, and we just thank you so much for the opportunity to gather and share your precious word, and hopefully get a little something special out of this, and if what comes out of me is not accurate, you just hopefully keep people from hearing it. But my prayer is that somebody would hear it and maybe get saved, and or that they would move on with their knowledge of the truth. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's scoot over to Galatians 4, verses 9 and 11. Does this sound okay to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Galatians 4, verses 9 and 11. It says, "But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" Who had bewitched these Galatians? Where did I hear that before? "Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." Let's move to a little to the right there, Colossians 2, 16 and 17. These are kind of up front, just to show you that we don't have to do these things. These feasts aren't mandatory for us. Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Those are good to know.
Yeah, and good to know that modern religion does the same sort of thing to people. You know,
that our verses that Paul wrote for us tell us that we do not have to follow these things. In fact, if you start to follow them and you think you got to follow them, you got an issue. Let's pop over to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to do verses 50 to 54. Everybody there? "Now this I say, brethren, as you've heard me say often, Paul always writes to believers, not unbelievers. I see Mary Lou has that thing lifted up, that little handout. Let me, if you're not real familiar with it, the easiest way to look at this thing is to look at the blue inside. You can relate it to our calendar. And the outside ones are actually the Jewish or the Hebrew months. Fair enough. And the spring fests are off to the right. And a little bit, I guess you would go clockwise. Just a little note, Nisan is actually the start of the religious or the holy part of the calendar. And if you roll around clockwise and you get to the fall months, you'll find the tertiary, which is actually the civil new year, which I guess would be kind of like our January, but they just happen to celebrate there somewhere around September. So they have two starts on there. They have the holy part of it, and then they have the civil portion of it. All right? Just in case you're confused about that, actually, Mary Lou, I appreciate you kind of looking at that, giving me a reminder. I was going to say something about that. Back to 1 Corinthians 15:50-54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. He's getting ready to reveal a secret that had not been revealed to Israel. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Do you believe there's been some people that actually trusted the gospel that are not with us today? Absolutely. And those are the folks that are asleep right now. But we shall all be changed. That'd be like if the rapture happened in a day or two. It'd be like us. We're going to be changed on the way up. 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and here's the key phrase, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's a pretty good promise. You know what? If you didn't know that Paul was your apostle, you wouldn't know that this promise is for you. How good is that? Really, other churches have us all over the place. Some of us have us coming back to the earth, riding on a pony, you know. Yeah. Some of us have us at the end of the tribulation, and I guess we get geared up on a horse or come on down with angels. It's all over the place. It's definitely a pre-trib rapture. It has to be because we're in the mystery period, and they are in the prophecy period. We can't be here when things kick off. I'm sure you heard Byron say that once or twice in the last few months. So for those of us in the body of Christ, we will be perfect, soul and body. I say soul and body because we keep the spirit until we get up there. It seems to me that the spirit comes off when we get our real body. And maybe that's a teaching for another day. And to be in the body, we must trust the gospel, the grace of God. And that is, go ahead, Daniel, what is that? I'm putting you on the spot. Is that okay? If not, I'll take it over. Yeah. So what do we need to do to be saved today?
Believe what our good Father Jesus did on that day on the cross, took care of business. We are no longer in debt to anybody.
So Jesus Christ died for our sins. Right. He was buried and he was resurrected on the third day. And we trust and we believe that gospel, the grace of God, we find out his resurrection counted as justification, 100% clean. God the Father doesn't see a single sin. He looks down at you. If you believe, if you trust that, he doesn't see any sin. All he sees is his Son and the work he's already completed. Well, I think the I think those things are a success. I see him eating it. I will say she didn't really pray over those things today. I think there was some cussing involved, so.
Thanks for writing me up.
That makes it tastier.
Only, it's only because she wanted them to be the best.
It was creating praying.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the oven to take a trip. All right. And all of these feasts are covered in numerous areas, but most of them are in Leviticus 23. And for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of jump in there and jump out of there. Otherwise, I will spend three quarters of the time reading Leviticus 23, which is a good read, by the way. But it does cover all seven of these feasts. So if you want to go back in such time, go back and take a read of those things. Let me pop over my other notes here. All right, you got your little handout there. Basically, for these feast days, let's start with this. There's two groups of feast days. Basically, there's four in the springtime, and there's three in the fall time. I'll have you know that the first four have already been satisfied. But the first of these four were actually given to Moses on the way out of Egypt when they were heading out to the Sinai, the Passover and the unleavened bread. And these were things that Israel did every year and continues to do every year. Starting with the Feast of the First Fruits, basically says when you get into the Promised Land, have them know that they're going to start doing it. So everything from the Feast of the First Fruits on was given to them to start once they got into the Promised Land. So the first four, the Spring Feast, Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruit, and Pentecost. And I'll understand, this reminds me when Billy was teaching this, when we went in there, he started to teach everything is surrounded by the feast days. And he just ripped through it. He had like 250 PowerPoint slides that he went over in 45 minutes. And I walked out of gone. I said, did you get anything out of that, hon? My kid's like going, you know, where's my video game at? But anyways, I got to look back and appreciate some of that stuff. Then there's the three fall feasts, which have not come to their full completion yet. And that's the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're going to start with the Feast of Passover. I'm going to read this little statement here. In the study, we're going to discover that the four spring feasts have already been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus during his first coming to the earth. The three fall fasts will be fulfilled by the Lord Jesus when he starts with the day of the Lord and eventually comes here in his second coming. Joe, you got to keep your eye on me because this is the smartest kind of room when it comes to these feast things. All right, everybody familiar with the Feast of Passover? This is one that we get to hear about a lot in church, right? The night, when the death angel was coming along and basically said there were some certain rules and go kill and cook the lamb and take the blood and put it over the lintel. It's basically observed in the first month of the Hebrew holy calendar. And they also say this is the beginning of the religious year, and it starts on the 14th of Nisan. Now, kind of a way to visualize this, because we talk about this occasionally, that the year that Jesus died on the 14th, I believe everybody here believes it was a Thursday, right? We may have some hanger-ons that think it was Good Friday, but it was actually Thursday, and it had to be Thursday, because there's some scripture that says that he had to resurrect on the third day, and he had to be on the cross 3 days and three nights. There's no way to do it on a Friday, and there's no way to do it on a Wednesday. So basically think of this as a Thursday late in the afternoon. And that's covered in Leviticus 23:5. Now there's a theme to this while Israel practices when they came out of Egypt, and it was Israel's redemption out of slavery. And we know that the fulfillment of this actually happened up on the cross when he died. But at the time, they didn't know it was for their sins. We don't get that later until we get to Paul's writing. All right, let's move on to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's also observed in that same month of Nisan, a day after, so it would be on the 15th of Nisan, that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is done. And Passover, it's not a holy convocation, it's not a day off, but with the Unleavened Bread, the first day, which would be the 15th, and the last day, the 21st, are holy convocations. So those are holidays that they were not allowed to work, which works out, which puts his death on Thursday, a holiday on Friday, the Sabbath on Saturday, which causes the scripture to line up when you read through it. Isn't that right, Byron?
Yeah, one of the things, you know, that those holy convocations,
right,
they're yearly Sabbaths.
Yes, special, exactly. The Saturday would be the typical Sabbath, unless it happened to line up with the holy convocation. Appreciate that. And the theme on that was Israel's sanctification and holiness unto the Lord. And it says here, and you probably have seen this, where they go through their houses and they take everything that has leaven in it and they get it out of the houses, and they still practice that today. Go ahead, Barn.
Oh,
I thought you had something. The fulfillment of this was when he, that being Jesus, was sinless, and he had to be sinless. That was the unleavened bread. So Passover is the death on the cross. The unleavened bread, that feast day, was to celebrate ultimately that a person with no sin was going to go and pay for all the sins of the world. And we know he did that. Go ahead, Dan.
So leavening signifies a corruption?
It is. And it's normally associated with bread.
Yeast.
It's normally associated with yeast. So they go through their houses and anything has yeast in it, you know, bread or whatever else, they take and they sweep all that. Their house has to be perfect for that week, because they believe if they don't, there's some sin left on them. Fair enough? Well, you can have flat with no yeast in it, I suppose. Excuse me. All right, the Feast of the First Fruits, still following the wheel here. We're still in the same month. And this would fall the day after, typically would fall the day after Unleavened Bread starts. But there's a rule, a caveat in there in Leviticus that says the day after the Sabbath. So it has to be Sunday morning. Interesting, huh? But like I said, we follow this back later. That's covered in Leviticus 23:10-14. It just takes a bit of time. I want to be able to get to the thing I want to get to. And if I read Leviticus, I won't get there. But feel free to read it and ask me questions later.
Good Lord's repetition. I mean, he kind of likes certain numbers and does things certain ways.
I would say,
too, is it's done this way?
He sure likes the number 7. Yeah. Uses 7 a lot. How many feast days are there? 7. He really likes 7. He created the heaven and the earth. 6 nights and 6 days and rested on the 7th day. So you see that quite a bit. He is a God of patterns, that's for sure. The theme of the first fruits is Israel reaping of their barley harvest. That's what they believe it was. And remember, they're practicing these things every single year. Even if they don't know what it really means, they're still doing it today. They're still practicing these first 4 feasts in Israel today. Why? Because they don't believe the Messiah came. Now, their eyes will be open. They're blind right now, but their eyes will be open to this eventually. Now, we know the fulfillment of the first fruits happened 0600, or when the sun, you know, right before it popped up, that was satisfied. Jesus was resurrected. The spirit, the soul, and the body came together and basically said, don't touch me, I need to go to my Father first and I'll come on back. So this was satisfied early on Sunday.
Awesome. I think that was the new body he had on when he went up, when he was resurrected in that body they saw, maybe that's kind of new like this.
We can speculate, and I think the Father and the Holy Spirit scooped up his DNA and put it back in there and made it perfect. You know, all the sin was cut off when he was down there, you know, off his soul.
Luke 24, 36 takes care of that question.
Let's go ahead and read it. Luke 24, 36. Smarty pants. He said Luke 24:36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you.
Keep reading.
Oh. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands, my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Agree. So, scooped up his body, his DNA, spirit came down from heaven, soul came up. You imagine the energy it took to take somebody that was already dead like that and put them together? Probably more energy than it took to create the entire universe. And we are in line to get that better. Isn't that awesome? Well, God must really love us.
Yeah, he does.
Just pointing out verse 42. They fed him.
Yeah.
So we're going to be able to eat. It's good.
Pizza.
That's Dave's important.
We ain't gonna take what the lady's giving us.
If you get anything out of the kitchen, you can eat.
You do have to
priority. Very funny. Okay, so we did that. Let's go to the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is one of those weird ones. You know, it's not right in a row. And I decided to take this guy and toss him out there 7 weeks. So basically, 50 pent means 50, and they put it out there. And then we find out later what it's all about. It says here, it's observed in the third month of the Hebrew year, 50 days after the Feast of the First Fruits, or 7 Sabbaths after the Sabbath that happens during that time. Fair enough? Everybody down with that? You don't have to remember all this stuff. Unless you want to. Oh, yeah. Let me turn that back on. I sure did. The theme for this is Israel's reaping a fuller harvest. Now, we know, and some of Israel knows as well, even the little flock, that in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit did come upon them. You know, Jesus stayed down there with them for 40 days. He goes up 10 days later. The Holy Spirit is, or the Holy Ghost is, released on them. Not to be confused with us, we come into this play later when our apostle gets put on the path. Everybody good with that? Now, it was only a handful of people in Israel that actually believed what Peter and the gang were teaching. Maybe 0.1%. At the time, it was a small number. You know, we figure what, 8,000 plus a few. But Israel, you know, even when Israel came out of Egypt, you know, you take, it basically says 600,000, 20 year olds to 50. So there were 600,000 of them, and then when you figure in their families and the kids, so. You figure out of Egypt, about 2 million strong came out of there. It may be even more than that. So they pretty much have maintained that to 7 million over the years. Not a huge country by any means, but when you think about 8,000 plus, that's not a lot of the population. All right, let's move on to the Feast of Trumpets, which is the first of the Fall Fest. It's observed in the seventh month of the Hebrew year, which is tertiary, which we talked about as the beginning of the civil new year. That's a little confusing, the holy part of the calendar versus the civil part of the calendar, but that's just because we've gotten used to our Gregorian calendars. And once every 4 years, we have a leap year in, which is interesting, because since there's only, you know, I did the math, there's like 354 days in an average a year. So they have to make up for this. They got to add, you know, they've got an Adar 1. Every 2 to 3 years, they got to add an Adar 2 to it so that they can bring it up to speed, because all their months are dictated by the start of the moon, the new moon, which we're almost ready to set on. Go ahead, Israel.
We don't know the exact number of days that are in here. That's why our calendar is so
well. 365 and a quarter seems to be the right time when we get back to the spot where we started at.
Leap year stuff to get everything back on track shows we're off.
Yeah.
So it's not.
I gotta give Pope Gregory Gregory, right? I had little props because basically it helped us out. But the original calendars were based on the moon. And that's, you know, that's the way God had set them up. And an interesting transition here is this feast right here is the sole feast that starts in the beginning of the month. And you go, so what? Well, it took at least two people to go out there, two people from the Sanhedrin to claim and see that first sliver of the moon. So it could start this year. I think the 7th of September is our equivalent to the first day of the Fest of Trumpets, or what's called Rosh Hashanah. But it may not start on the 7th. It may start on the 8th, based on a sighting by two qualified set of eyeballs for the Sanhedrin.
Do they practice out here? Stuff around? They do, don't they?
Not the Catholics, but the Jewish folks, the Judaism folks do. But definitely in Israel, those, you know, the guys you see with the curly sideburns, I'm sure they have, what do they call that?
Hasidic?
Is that, what's the name of those curls?
Curls.
Okay, curls are a good name for curls. I'm going to go with that. You got the black cats. I thought about growing something else, man. They get to hang out at the wall. They look like they're having a good time. Of course, I'd probably be banging my head against the wall. Anyway, so this is the only feast of the month that is based on a new moon. So another name for this thing is also called, everybody ready for it? Nobody knows the day or the hour. Have you heard that in church before?
Yeah.
Nobody knows the day or the hour.
Matthew 24:36.
Interesting. Because they don't until they get out there. There could be bad weather out there. You know, the sun could be up. They can't see it. There has to be a certain sliver to be able to actually eyeball that thing and go in and announce that it's starting. And then once it starts, then the trumps start to do their thing. Larry talked, it's in tertiary. On the first and second day, which is our September-October time frame. Again, this can be found in Leviticus. The theme of this is judgment. As Joe and I were talking about, it's 2 weeks ago we were talking about, it's the start of judgment. It's also the start of the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation outlined in Daniel. Not a good time. But you know what? We've got at least three verses that say we weren't made for wrath. So we can't be here. So once this thing is done, we can't be here.
Mystery.
We're the mystery. We can't be here. Something to think about. We're going to get around to that. Let's go to the Feast of Atonement. Wasn't that interesting? They celebrate the Feast of Atonement. What was it say in Romans 5:11? Don't we already have our atonement? So why are they celebrating? Because they don't get their atonement yet. That comes in concert with this, when they're celebrating this feast during that year that ends the 7-year tribulation, they're celebrating the Feast of Atonement. Why? Because they're going to finally get their atonement. And the times are refreshing. We covered that over and over. Again, these fall fests have not been satisfied yet, because we haven't got there. We're getting close. All right. And the theme for that is a covering for sin. Let's move on to the Feast of Tabernacles, also called Sukkot. Everybody there? On your handout? Tabernacles is also observed in the 7th month of the Hebrew year. Isn't that weird how they kind of crunch everything into a couple of months? I know this is exciting as watching paint dry on the wall. You're going to get to the point or what? So, Tabernacles is basically when Jesus Christ is going to come down to the earth, and he is going to finally dwell with his people. That's what tabernacles, or some people call it booths as well. So they're going to get their atonement. He's going to finally dwell, you know, with a rod of iron, and he's going to rule them, and they're going to finally have peace, and we'll get to the time when, you know, the lion lays with the lamb, and kids are in playing with snakes. And
so that's what they thought was going on when he was walking around.
Poisonous snakes, no doubt. All right, let's get back to the place where I wanted to get to start with. The Feast of Trumpets. Now, do you remember that what we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52? It said, at the last trump. We're going to go over to Isaiah. You start turning that way. I got to get the exact verse. And Paul kind of builds off of this. Write that down. Well, I'm going to kick myself in the butt if I didn't write this down.
You're on a steak here.
Want a steak? Well, I'm going to write it down somewhere. Alright. It's the oven. It set me off. That would have been fun. Okay, give me just a sec here. I've got it wrote down here. I apologize. It is. It's a rather long book. I'm going to kick myself in the pants. Come on up here. Isaiah 27:13. Gosh. Did you know that, Dave? Isaiah 23:13. 27:13. I'm sorry. I'm freaking out on the inside. It's okay. I'm going to start at verse 12. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall, and I like to separate these words, beat off from the channel of the river into the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to those under prophecy. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. And we're going to to find out that that great trumpet is called the Tequila Gondola, right?
Great Tequila, yeah.
I'm going to let you say it when I get to that. It didn't sound like what I said. And they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the Holy Mount and Jerusalem. See the gist of this, right? And you talked about it a number of times. When the tribulation starts, buku numbers of Jews, Hebrews, Israel are going to be coming back, flooding back into Israel. And this is the start of them coming back at this trump. The Feast of Trumpets starts the tribulation. It starts in earnest, bringing back massive amount of people. Yeah, there are folks, there are Jews in Israel right now. I'm not saying there's not, but there will be a large number. Could be, you know, they're going to come under conviction in the countries they're in, and they're finally going to say, that's it, we're going back to Israel. Things are a lot better there. I had a joke, and I'm not going to say it. But it doesn't involve one of these. Was that funny? Okay, trumpet blast. There are four types of trumpet blast. There's the tekiah, which is the long blast. High five. The shavurim. Did I get that right? The trua. Which those three types of blasts are made up to create the first 99 toots on the trumpet, or the shofars. And the last, the 100th one, is called the Great Tekiah, which, what does that mean if you bring it into English?
I don't know.
It means the last trump.
Oh, okay.
This one symbolizes the hope of redemption and is a very long final note. And what they say is when they start blowing, they will exhaust every bit of air that they have on that final trump. Now, I won't 100%, but I'm at least 90-95% sure that when that happens, I'm out of here. I can't tell you whether it's this year or next year or when it's going to happen, but I believe during the season that it's going to happen.
That's what's referred to as the Great Trumpet in that verse.
Yeah, and that's, when you're over in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, is that where you're at, or you refer?
I was looking at Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Great Trump. There again, and it means something different to people under prophecy. That starts their 7 years of tribulation. It's us getting out of here. We can't be here when they're program starts. We have to be gone. Mystery can't be in prophecy, because prophecy has been talked about and preached since the beginning of the world. Mystery only hit the streets when it was given to Paul to share.
But the same trumpet can be doing two different things.
I believe it is the same thing. And the reason why, and we're getting down on time here, he went into Corinth, he was in Ephesus, and he wrote this letter, which is 1 Corinthians, which, if you get into it, ends up being the second letter, but that's besides the point.
Right.
He writes these people from Ephesus, probably about 57 AD. I would put it somewhere in Acts 19, somewhere around verse 22. But he writes to these people and doesn't expand on it. And during the pre-prison epistles, who was Paul going to? To the Jews first, and also the Greeks. They would have known these feast dates. They practiced these things every single year. They knew what the trump meant. So when they said at the last trump, they knew immediately what that meant. And yes, this was out on the street probably a few years before Revelation was on the street. I'm not a believer in the AD 96, 97, whatever. I believe it was probably right around, 57, Byron, Revelation, maybe here earlier, somewhere in that area.
It had written before Paul died.
Yep, because it was complete, Colossians 1.
Completed. It killed the Word of God. Yep. So it had to happen before AD 66 or 67.
So, let's say it's, I don't don't know, somewhere around 61-ish. That's where I kind of put it, 60 or 61. Because one of those churches was actually destroyed in a huge earthquake. You know, one of the churches it talks about in Revelation. All right. What else can I cover? I only have a few minutes. I didn't get everything done, but... Jeez, so funny. Did I?
Well,
go over to 1 Corinthians 15 and take a look at verse 52. And you're going to see his mention, he says, at the last trump. Why did he say that?
Right.
Why didn't he say at the trump, like the trumpet of God? He says at the last trump. So there's a number of trumpets that are going on. Now, we don't want to be confused. This has nothing to do with the seven trumps in Revelation. It has nothing, because we're not here. Right. We can't be here when prophecies go on. We are part of the mystery. Now, these feast days... Now, these feast days, again, every single year, as they left Egypt, over and over again, it'd be like our Christmas. You know that Christmas happens on the 25th, and most of us in here know that Jesus wasn't born that day. Now, he was probably made that day, right? Holy Spirit came down and, you know, delivered the goods. But we, you know, on the 25th, you're going to get a day off, and you're going to be there. And I'm going to look at our watch saying, I guess that means time.
So our calendar is kind of split at that point, too.
It's a Gregorian, yeah?
Wow.
Let me see if I have anything else pertinent before I get down.
So the last trump is not the seventh trump of the trumpets. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. It's the Feast of the Trumpets. If you take a look at your handout there, it's a time when they would, you know, first, it's the only month that starts at the beginning of a new moon, and after that they would blow the trumps. It was a trumpet, but it's the announcement, almost as if the day of the Lord is starting, and at the last of those trumps, and it is a number of trumps. Now remember, these feasts were all foreshadowing events of the real deal that was going to happen. Now when they would celebrate it, you know, coming out of Passover, they have their Seder meal, you know, you get in there and you have your seasoning and all that stuff. Did anybody do that in church besides me? Yeah, it was kind of cool. But it wasn't the real reason, it was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ finally dying on the cross. So each one of these feasts had kind of an immediate thing, but it was more about what was going to come when their Messiah actually had died on the cross. And if you take a look, each one of these feasts represent the event that's going to happen. And when the trumps happen, not to be confused with President Trump, but when the trumps happen, is mainly for prophecy that the 7 years of the tribulation is going to begin at that time. Now, I can't tell you whether it's this year or next year, but the signs are abounding that we are getting very close to this based on what Paul told us in things like 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 4. You know, this end time, you know, the end of this dispensation of the grace of God, all these things, we're going to be seeing these things. You know, we've covered these things a number of times. And I go into a little bit more of this, but I believe at or about this time is when we're out here. That's okay to have different beliefs. I believe that when he put that down, they knew exactly what it meant because they had been practicing these things ever since they were a little tight. But if I get it wrong, we talk about it when we get to heaven. Oh, yeah. Fair enough? And I don't mind if he shows up at a different time and says it's time to get out here. But anyways, that's what I have. Thank you.